You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Glad you're here. We appreciate you. Help us with the Buttkins. You've been doing a great job, I think, haven't they, Robert? Because Robert got tired of hearing me complain about the Buttkins. And so he's been taking care of them for us. And I appreciate that, man. Let me tell you. So we're thankful that you're here, Brother Charles is going to come with some special music, and if we can be of any help to you, please let us know. Thank you.
Thank you.
How many have gotten a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt? Join the crowd. Me too. That's when I started wearing mine, when they charged me I don't remember exactly, but it was quite a while back. I think it was close to $100 for that. So.
You just tied yourself in with a rope.
I'd rather do that. No, really. Kenny, I lost my song. No, here it is. All right. Leland asked us to do this song quite a while back, and every song we've done up till now was kind of light, but this one's pretty serious, and I wanted to do the light songs early because we tell you this isn't church, and we're not lying. It's really not church, but it's kind of like church in that we do want to praise the Lord here. And the whole reason for Rec Room, as Leland will tell you, number one, is to lead you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why we want to do this, because we want to keep you out of hell. Number two, we want to keep you out of white, or help you stay out of white. That is, so if you join with people like us, you'll stay out of white. All right, hey, good song. The old rugged cross made the difference. Was a life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope, walked this shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. Barren walls echoed harshness and anger. Little feet ran in terror to hide. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter. Since the giver of life stepped. Sealed in a tomb. So much.
Yeah, that's the difference. Old rugged crawler. Jesus told a religious crowd one time, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And I was thinking about the Bible, because there's parts of it that are thousands of years old, and yet every answer that you and I need is found in this book. It's a far ahead sometime. Many of you can remember studying in school about Columbus discovering America. And yet Isaiah, which wrote 700 years before Christ was born, told us the earth was round. But it took us from 1492. That's 714-92. Nearly 2,200 years before we found out. We're pretty quick. Now, there are just so many things, and there's example after example. And I want to call your attention to one of them tonight in the fifth chapter of Mark, because I think it fits me in a lot of places, and I think it will you. Fifth chapter of Mark, and we'll start with verse 1. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to have one, if you lift your hand, we've got some guys that will bring you a Bible. Anybody need a Bible? Okay, got one down here. Another one over here, yeah. Now let me say this about those Bibles. If you do not have a Bible in Odessa with you, just keep that one as our gift to you from a rec room. Anybody else? Okay. Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter 5. So they came over to the other side of the sea, verse 1, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Notice where he'd been living, among the dead. I spent a lot of years there. This man, that's where he lived. Notice verse 3 said, who had his living among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. We have the first introduction to the judicial system. Yeah. Bound him with chains. Put those shackles on him. We're going to make you mind. You will do what we tell you to do. And we all did that, just like a little boy that his mama said to him, "Son, I want you to sit down." And he kept standing. And she said, "Son, I told you to sit down." And he kept standing. And she grabbed him and set him down. And she said, "I told you to sit down." He said, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still standing up." This is the judicial system that doesn't work. It didn't change anybody. That's That's just what it does. It just binds. And then we're introduced to the clinical system. When it said, no man, neither could any man tame him. Well, we'll just send you, we sent you to prison twice, now we're going to send you to IPTC. And some of you are back. I got a letter this week from a guy, I don't know how many times. I started working with this guy when he was in his early 20s. And he's been in and out of jail and prison more times than the sheriff. And now for the first time he's in federal prison and loving it. He said, we got 12 big screen TVs. I'm glad that my life has a little more in it. Now, I don't have a big screen TV, but they's not that much good on my little one. And he said, get people to write me. I don't know anybody wanted to write him. In and out, just coming back. I mean, it's been like, I've seen this guy. He started in a rec room with us when we were in, when our first building. We're 13 years old. He started with us. He didn't start at first because he was in prison, but as soon as he got out, he came and started doing well. This guy, he came up to me one night and he said, Leland, look here. He said, I got a credit card. Well, I've seen credit cards, so I wasn't very impressed. And it hurt his feelings. He said, Leland, you don't understand. This is the only credit card I ever had. It didn't steal. Got my name on it. And sure enough, it did. I was proud of him then. But it wasn't long. He's back in that crack house. Then he got out and started another business. This guy would start businesses and make it do good. All of a sudden, he's driving a new SUV, and he's doing well. He's wearing clothes, and back to the crack house. Back in trouble. Over and over and over. He's been, I don't know how many times, he's been through Clover House twice. He's got 60 years left on paper. In fact, he told me one time, he said, Leland, my last parole officer hadn't been born yet. Think about that. I said, you're right. Well, why do we just, this is what this guy's doing. He's having these things. Nothing can tame him. And there's no, look at verse 5 here. There's no letting up. Always. Day and night he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And that's what this guy was doing. Just shooting himself in the foot. Getting back in trouble. Always. No let up. He's in the mountains. That means he's high. He's got the mountain experience. But then he's back in the tombs. He's got the miserable experience. It's amazing. Everything goes up, comes down, doesn't it? And I'm going to tell you, some of you, and you do this in Clover House. You get together and you get to reminiscing about that party when you had some really good stuff. You remember that night? And we play that to the high. I used to talk to them out there at Turning Point about that. You play it to the high, but you don't ever finish the tape. Play it all the way to booking. Play it all the way to the emergency room. Play it all the way to the funeral home. Play it all the way to the divorce court. Yeah, be honest with yourself. Don't just play it to the high. I made all of this money. One guy told me, he said, Leland, where else could I go and take $250 and invest it, and in 3 days turn it into $20,000? And I said, man, I don't know. And I thought about it all night. We were in prison that Friday night, and we went back on Saturday, and I thought about that all night long. You know, Troy was this guy's name, and Troy was a cook. He wasn't a chef, he was a cook. Okay? But And the next day I said, Troy, let me ask you this again. I said, make sure I got this right. You took $20,000. You took $250 and in 3 days turned that into $20,000. He said, Leland, I got no reason to lie to you. I said, let us figure this out. Some of you are going to need a pencil on this. But I said, let's just assume there's 50 weeks in a year instead of 52. Let's try to make it as simple as we can. And a person normally works how many hours a week? 40 hours a week. Okay. So we got 40 hours a week for 50 weeks is how many hours? 40 hours a week times 50 is what? Isn't that 2,000? I said, Troy, how long have you been down? He said, 6 years. That turned into 12,000 hours. I said, now, Troy, let's divide the 12,000 into 20,000. How much is that an hour? Anybody know what that is? $1.60-something. I said, will you work that cheap when you get out? See, Troy's problem was he just played the tape to the high. When he got to 20,000, he didn't play it to six more years. It's going to cut that 20,000 to $1.65 an hour. And that story goes a little further because Troy spent two more years before he was released. We don't think very well. And he's back in the tombs. He's cutting himself always, night and day, in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus far off, he went in worship. One thing he knew about Jesus. He knew some truths about Jesus. See, we're not doing this because we're dumb and don't know any better. The worst thing my dad ever did to me was he told me when I was about 12 and 13 years old, he said, son, you're a man. I expect you to act like it. And that's pretty hard to want. Now, Mama was different. She gave me rules, and I learned to break them. But Daddy didn't give me rules. He gave me principles. And he said, you're a man. I expect you to act like it. How are you going to get around that? We don't argue about whether you come in at 11 o'clock at night or not. We don't argue about whether you run the speedometer back on the car or not. You're a man. I expect you to act like it. And this guy knew, we're not doing this in the dark. We're not doing this because we don't know any better. We do know. And this guy knew the truth. And look at verse 7. He cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not. You know what? If you hadn't trusted Christ as your Savior, he'll make you miserable. The greatest thing you can ever do is trust Christ, and he'll be your best friend. But until you are, he will not make your life with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I will tell you that. A miserable life just becomes more miserable if you get around Jesus. And notice what he told Jesus. Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Leland, you don't understand how many problems I got. I've got too many problems. You don't understand. We're out here trying to cut the tree down one branch at a time. You know it? Instead of uprooting the tree, we're out here just trying to solve this problem, that problem. I remember God told me one time, he said, Leland, I only got one problem in my life. He said, I only got one sin in my life. And that kind of amazed me because everybody I've ever been around has got a bunch. And I said, you only got one sin? He said, I said, are you sure about that? He said, yeah. I said, what is it? He said, I cuss a little bit when I'm drunk. Okay. We go to AA. We go to NA. We go to Sex Offenders Clinic. You know, we really ought to go to SAA. That's an all-around center. We need to find one of them guys. Just touches on everything. Because that's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to solve the sin problem, not the sins problem. We're always dealing with that. What about this? And we argue over this. You think this is this and that is that? He said, for we are many. And in verse 10, notice what Jesus did. He gets rid of all the problems. He besought him much that he would not sin. And he asked him, what is thy name? He said, Legion, we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. That legion, those many demons that were ruining him. And there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into him. Isn't it amazing that the devil loves hogs? Now, you can't find a much dirtier animal. When I was a little boy, part of my job was slopping the hogs, because that's what they love. We didn't have disposals back then. We didn't even have electricity then. But all the food stuff we put in a bucket, and I took it down to the hog pen and threw it over the fence. We slopped all. Just poured the slop, all the food stuff out on the ground, and they just ate it up. And I'm gonna tell you what, you can take a hog and you can clean it up and you can show it at the FAA deal. Program and win blue ribbons, but as soon as you turn it loose, it's going to the hog pen. That's just like some of us. We get cleaned up somewhere, and then all of a sudden, we get a little money in our pocket, and we're like that guy's telling you about. We're back to the crack house. We headed right back, because nothing has changed on the inside. He said, send us unto the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place and to the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. As soon as the devils got in the hogs, they just committed suicide. They didn't. Hog had more sense than that. They just drowned themselves. And they that fed the swine, verse 14, fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, all those demons. Notice, sitting. He's calmed down. He's not in the tombs and the mountains running back and forth. He's sitting. He's content. He's happy. He's joyful. He's pleased. He's relaxed. He's sitting because he's sitting with Jesus. Something else about him, notice. And clothed. He's no longer embarrassed. He's no longer ducking and dodging and running and looking over his shoulder. He can sit among the best. He's clothed. And then the last thing, in his right mind, he can sleep at night. He can have the peace. He can think. He can see some things work out in his life. He can get a true picture. He's in his right mind. We sang a song earlier, and I didn't know Brother Charles was going to do it. When we started the rec room, and this song would kind of go over and over in my mind, and we made it our theme song. We sang, Come Ye Sinners, like we did tonight, lost and hopeless. Jesus' blood can make you free, for he saved the worst among us when he saved a wretch like me. I love that because Jesus cleaned me up. Jesus gave me the peace and the joy. in some of my most unenjoyable times. Two of them I think about right now. I buried my youngest son. I buried my oldest daughter. And those were miserable days. I did not enjoy one day. But you know what? I had the joy that comes from knowing Jesus and knowing one day I'll be able to see Mike and I'll be able to see Martha because they knew Jesus Christ. Come, you sinners, lost and hopeless. Jesus' blood can make you free, for he saved the worst among us when he saved a wretch like me. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Some of you have been right where this guy was. Some of you have been through the mountains and had the highs, and then you've been in the tombs and had the lows. You've run here and you've run there and you found no joys and you found no peace. And you don't want to be by yourself. You need to have somebody around. You don't want to have to be where you have to think. Tonight, you're here without Jesus, and you say, Leland, I'd like to have that joy and peace that you talk about. I don't have it. Would you pray for me? And if that's your desire, would you just slip up your hand? God bless you. I see your hands, sir. And I see yours. Yes, yours and yours. Anyone? Yes, yours, son. Yeah. God bless you. Yes, I see those hands. You can put them back down after I recognize you. God bless you. Now listen to me carefully. In a moment, Brother Charles is going to begin to play and sing, Lord, I'm Coming Home. And I want you to come home. We're going to stand. I'm going to pray for you. There'll be somebody down here to take this Bible and show you how you can have what we talked about tonight. Would you stand to your feet? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, this is a special time. And Father, tonight, some folks are going to leave the tombs and find the peace that only you give. But I don't know how to explain it. I just know that when we ask you, you save our rotten hide. So, Father, tonight, help those to have the courage to step out for Jesus and get in their right mind. In Christ's name we pray. Would you come on the very first verse? Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered far away from God. Come right home. Yes, come on.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.